Now, nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter of a tank of gas if you're lucky. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. Make the switch today, and if you do it today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. They use the same 5G network, same cell towers as the big carriers, and most families saving close to $1,000 a month. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, that's Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, HealthLock.com. Go there today.
Imagine a society with a digital dollar and no cash, where every penny you have could all be tracked. That's why thousands of Americans have decided to opt out of the government's plans by talking to GoldCo and putting a portion of their savings into physical gold and silver. Right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. Go to HannityGold.com to learn how you could get started today. That's HannityGold.com.
To your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity. The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America. This is a special edition of the Sean Hannity Show. America trapped behind enemy lines. Day number 353.
And it's been a full year since Joe made the promise to Georgie Stephanopoulos that, in fact, he wouldn't abandon Americans behind enemy lines. He has. We've discussed it, but they've all moved on. And, you know, look, I'm all for killing Ayman al-Zawahiri, who took over from bin Laden as the head of al-Qaeda. Great intelligence. Great military strike inside of Afghanistan. And to the president, I'll even, if he was aware that he was giving the nod, that would be interesting. That's a separate issue in and of itself. But let's assume he knew something of what he was approving. And it's great work. Here's the problem. And I mean this sincerely. I'm glad this evil SOB's dead. Thank God. The problem is everything that we told you that would happen if you didn't handle the exit from Afghanistan properly is now happening. And that is women can't go to work. They've got to dress a certain way. Girls after sixth grade, they do not go to school. They're not allowed because the Taliban won't let them. The murdering of Afghan allies continues. People either disappear, never to be seen or heard from again. And others are just being killed in broad daylight in the street, just as an example. So the old Taliban's the new Taliban, and the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan is now a safe haven for even the likes of Ayman al-Zawahiri, who was hanging out on his porch when two Hellfire missiles from a drone took his ass out, which I'm very happy happened. But the problem is it's now a safe haven for terrorist organizations again. Remember, the last 18 months Donald Trump was president, not a single American died because he warned the leader of the Taliban, if you don't, before we make any deal on our withdrawal, you need to understand, if you don't follow every dotted I, cross T, every comma, every period, I will blow you to smithereens, the way I took out the Caliphate, Soleimani, Baghdadi and Associates, and the al-Qaeda leader in Yemen. I will do it to you. Do you understand? And I'm told by numerous sources that it wasn't just once. He repeated it often, again and again and again. A mystery is surrounding. And by the way, this is not a fait accompli, this whole Manchin-Schumer deal. Just so you know, there are strategies that Republicans can use to delay any ultimate vote on this. There is a question about Kyrsten Sinema. And this is getting interesting. NBC News even reporting. that she's been silent as it relates to this push to pass Biden's. I can't even stand the fact because they all lie to us. Biden repeating his lie about not raising taxes. Joe Manchin just said he's not going to raise taxes. They're all lying. It drives me nuts when people lie. It's, yes, we're in a recession. Stop lying about it. Yes, this increases taxes, Joe Manchin. You know it does. People making under $200,000 a year. That's $16.7 trillion in the first year alone. And it goes up from there. So stop lying about all of these things. It is beyond insulting. Never mind Biden. You know, remember when George Herbert Walker Bush made a pledge, a promise, read my lips, no new taxes. And then he raised taxes. He got the crap beat out of him by the media. Well, this bill is raising taxes on people that make under $200,000 a year and in massive amounts of money, and not a word from the mob and the media about Joe's promise not to raise taxes on the middle class in this country, because that's what he's doing. Now, there is a question mark. Now, do I think ultimately Kristen Sinema is probably going to go along with and capitulate to pressure from the Democrats and support this idiotic bill? I believe she probably will, because when you got 49 people down your throat, you're the sole holdout. The pressure mounts in that environment known as the swamp and the sewer. But anyway, she has the entire Democratic Party, which is interesting, sitting on the edge of their seats, waiting to hear whether she's going to back this Biden, Manchin, Schumer inflation reduction lie, this real spending binge that Democrats hope that, you know, could help them in the midterm elections. First of all, if you just look at the facts, and we pointed this out, congressional budget committees, the Wharton School of Business, they've all done a full analysis of this. Wharton School, University of Penn, the bill's going to increase inflation over the next 2 years. The bill's expected to maybe reduce inflation after 2024. Okay, that's a little late by that point. That means we got, what, 2.5 more years of this crap. I don't think Americans can wait that long to get out from under this, what is $6,800 on average per couple tax that Biden's inflation is costing everybody. Anyway, so far, Sinema doesn't seem to mind keeping everybody in the Democratic Party waiting. NBC reports that Democrats consider Sinema to be a difficult negotiator. Her vote could make or break the bill. Democrats with no hope of winning any Republican support need every member of their caucus. Remember, they're going to need a whole series of votes leading into this. They're using a process called reconciliation. I won't go into the technical definition of it. You've heard of it before. That's how Obamacare got passed back in, what, 2009, when, you know, just before Christmas, if my memory serves me right. Anyway, but not guaranteed given the recent absences of senators infected with COVID for it to clear the Senate. But anyway, spokesperson for Sinema, when asked Sunday, said she had no comment on the bill, adding she's reviewing the text and will need to see what comes out of the parliamentarians process, referring to the Senate official that determines whether bills comply with the chamber's very strict budget rules. Now, Sinema reportedly found out about reconciliation when the press release came out. And there have been other reports that she was kept in the dark about the negotiations with Manchin and Schumer, and that might have pissed her off. I don't know. But anyway, last year, Sinema made clear to every Democratic leader she opposed closing what many in her party called the carried interest loophole. According to multiple sources familiar with the negotiations, the provision was dropped from the House Build Back Better, Build Back Broke debacle, which stalled indefinitely in the Senate this year. But Manchin then favors ending the tax break, and it was re-added to the new bill. So we'll see what she does. It's Politico even points out something more interesting on this, is that her silence may actually force Democrats to vote on Biden's spending binge and Manchin's spending binge without even knowing where she stands. I mean, they might vote for this not knowing. It may be, you know, this could go down to the wire. Senate Democrats, you know, are going to start this vote-a-rama, they call it, a series of votes on their party line energy tax and health care bill this week, and with very little indication of where Kristen Sinema actually stands on it, and apparently they're willing to risk it. Now, that tells me, yeah, they might be getting a wink and a nod that she's leaning towards it, but While all of Washington is waiting on Kristen Sinema, her previous treatment of high-profile issues shows that she's unlikely to make any statement about how she sees the deal written by Manchin and Schumer until it's on the floor of the Senate. In the past, she'll also be a wild card on amendments that Republicans may offer in a bid to alter the bill on the Senate floor during votes later this week. And at the center of all of this intrigue is Manchin's push to narrow a loophole known as this carried interest that some investors use to lower their taxes, which is, something that she opposes. Manchin said he planned to talk to Sinema this afternoon and was telling some West Virginia radio host that this is everything Kristen agreed to in December. She's the one that kept saying no new taxes. Well, this bill is raising taxes. Now we found out, why did Manchin do this? Right, because you're thinking, all right, Manchin held out. Manchin was being strong. Manchin was standing up for the people of West Virginia. Now, on the coal front, the one industry that gets hurt the most is vital to the West Virginian economy, and that's the issue of coal. But as a trade-off to this, at least according to the Congressional Quarterly, Biden has found a pipeline deal that he can live with. And while U.S. energy security clearly doesn't matter to Biden, Manchin's vote on this bill certainly does. So to win Manchin's vote on the legislation, Biden agreed to greenlight this West Virginia pipeline deal, which is being built by a major donor to Joe Manchin's Senate campaign, according to the Congressional Quarterly. This permitting agreement that Manchin reached with congressional Democrats in the White House last week during these negotiations requires a completion of a natural gas pipeline that would run about 300 miles between West Virginia and Southern Virginia. As chairman of the Senate Energy Natural Resources Committee, Manchin and members of the West Virginia congressional delegation have focused on the pipeline project and a push for its completion. The pipeline is being built by Equitrans Mainstream, which is one of the largest natural gas distributors in America, which has pitched the project as a way to bring gas from Appalachia to the Southeast. Their political action committee has given $16,000 to federal candidates in the 2022 cycle. Manchin and Virginia Senator Shelley Moore, Capito, have also gotten $5,000. Senator Barrasso, top Republican, he's gotten $2,500. I mean, this is just the way it works. So this is just going to be an interesting exercise. My guess is that it's going to get done. Now, what can Republicans do? Newt Gingrich came up with a brilliant plan, and I talked to him earlier today, and he's sent out to every Republican senator what they need to do. Now, And he's right. He points out in his note, look, don't allow the Democrats to camouflage this bill and label it something that it's not. It's not an Inflation Reduction Act. In business, he said this would lead to a lawsuit over false advertising. And it's this dishonest branding of bills is standard procedure, for the Orwellian party of the Green New Deal Democratic Socialist Party, the climate alarmist cult. An accurate title of the bill would be higher taxes, bigger IRS, and more inflation. By the way, did you know that they're going to hire 87,000 additional Internal Revenue Service agents? The IRS currently only has 78,661 full-time staff. I think half of them are attacking me every year. But when you look at the numbers, and this is where Republicans can get smart. And what he is saying is that during the August break, they always have tons of vacation, every Republican House and Senate candidate needs to challenge every Democratic opponent to defend this unpopular tax-raising bill. In other words, make them debate you on it. Call them out on it. Write op-eds on it. Do town halls about it. Scott Rasmussen highlighted the American people's opposition to the bill once it's accurately explained. And Rasmussen found that 55% of Americans favor cutting government spending and taxes, while only 23% favor the higher taxes in this bill and spending. And an overview of Republican candidates will have a more than 2-to-1 majority opposing higher taxes and bigger spending. 44% to 17% of Americans believe higher taxes and government spending will increase inflation. And when told half the burden will fall on the manufacturing industry, even more people oppose it. So in other words, if you explain the bill accurately, you're going to win the issue. So when people are told what's in the Manchin-Schumer bill, and it's going to lead to all these IRS agents, lead to higher taxes, and it's not what it says it's going to do, and they lie when they say that it's going to reduce inflation. Just look at the Wharton School of UPenn, and they found it could lead to an increase in inflation. It is an enormous opportunity for Republicans and a learning moment for the American people that the current economic performance of Democrats are destructive to every American family. Challenge all of these Democrats during the recess so that when they come back, they're going to be hesitant to go along with this bill. You know, they're so full of Adam Schiff. They really, I hate being lied to. I really do. Biden, no, I'm not going to raise taxes. People that make under $400,000 a year. Well, this raises taxes $17 billion on people that make under $200,000 a year, which, by the way, violates the key promise of Schumer, Pelosi, Manchin, of all of them. And by the way, these are the official congressional scoring numbers. You know, what about Manchin, Pelosi, Obama, all saying you don't raise taxes during a recession? That's a bad idea. They're all on tape saying that. And then you look inside the bill, you see even more waste, fraud, and abuse. $3 billion for Postal Service vehicles to convert them to electric vehicles. How much is it going to cost to convert every car they want to convert? Then you got $2 billion for, quote, environmental justice grants for tree planting, streetlights. For that amount of money, we could seal the border off and save lives from fentanyl and opioids. You know, with this bill, we're now up to $3.5 trillion of Biden debt. That's in 18 months, $3.5 trillion. We cannot function as an economy with this type of reckless spending. But I guess Joe Manchin gets his pipeline. That's all he cares about. Let's see if Kristen Sinema goes along with it, which my guess is she probably will, because that's just the way Democrats, the swamp, the sewer known as Washington, you know, that's just the way they work. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll also get to your calls. 800-941-SHAWN, our number.
This is What's Right with America. You're listening to the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour. So Nancy Pelosi's plane did, in fact, land in Taiwan, 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time today. The Chinese declined to follow through on their threat to blow a plane out of the sky, which we told you they weren't going to do. They're not going to start World War III. They're in the middle of saber rattling. What's so frustrating to me is, it's not complicated how to defeat hostile regimes without firing a shot. How did Reagan do it with the former Soviet Union? He bankrupted them. He built up our nation's defenses and our military to such a large extent they could not afford to keep up. If you look at the economy of Russia, it is driven, half their economy is based on revenue from energy that they're selling to, well, they used to sell to Western Europe. Now they're selling to China, India, and other countries. So that's half their revenue. And this goes back to my argument. Not only should we return to energy independence, we should be the world's most dominant energy producer on the face of the earth. We don't have to worry about the Straits of Hormuz. We don't have to kiss the ass of dictators and hostile regimes that hate us. We create high-paying career jobs in America. We pay less at the pump, less to heat and cool our homes. It costs a lot less to truck the products we buy at every store that we go to. And then we not only get to back to energy independence, then we take it to the next level. Then we put production on steroids. And if you do that, think of the amazing benefits. We, the United States, can supply all of Europe with all of their energy needs. And guess what happens then? then America can pay down its debt. Then America will have more money. Then Americans will be taxed less. Then Americans will get its, you know, financial house in order. I mean, how do you think Saudi Arabia, why are they so rich? You know, where do they get all this money to offer, what, $800 million plus to Tiger Woods to join this new golf league that they set up? You know, or Phil Mickelson and Greg Norman and all these guys that have had it with the PGA. And where did they get all this money? They got it all from energy. They got it all from an abundance of energy in Saudi Arabia and all these other OPEC countries. And they've been able to control the price. And they watch. They know that we have these vast resources of oil, gas, and coal. And they watch us import and beg them to increase their production and watch us import all the energy needs we have here. And I'm telling you what they're thinking. We're the dumbest people on the face of this earth. Because that's not what they're doing. And if we did it here domestically, number one, it's great for national security. It's great for job creation. It's great to reduce the price of the pump, the price to heat and cool homes. But it's good for in every regard. And then if we become energy dominant, and by the way, simultaneously for all you green climate alarmist cultists out there, I'm all in favor of cheaper, cleaner energy. Although we do it faster, we do it cheaper, and we do it cleaner than they do. So in other words, we actually care about the environment, so we do it a lot better than they do. And we'd be able to supply every need that we have. It's the lifeblood of the world's economy. It's not changing anytime soon. Somebody needs to tell, you know, the genius Mayor Pothole Pete Buttigieg that, well, we'll continue to, there'll be more pain, the more benefit. Because the longer we are reliant on foreign sources of energy and reduce the world's natural supply, that means that the inclination will be to move towards energy independence with renewable energies, except the only problem with this genius's plan is that we don't have enough renewable energies at a cost point that is efficient to make the so-called transition. We don't have the capacity. What if the sun doesn't shine? What if the wind doesn't blow? And how come we can't store the energy the way that we would otherwise need to? I mean, so they don't have it. And it's not like it's technology that we're just building and we're able to build out and it's going to be here in the near future. The near future, maybe if you define it as the next two decades, maybe they'll be able to make a transition, to use their favorite term, to renewables. But you can't do it now. Anyway, so the South China Morning Post has, in fact, now most of Beijing's response has been pretty muted up till now. Pelosi landing there today, arrived in Taiwan despite warnings from Beijing against the visit, the risk of triggering a military conflict. Anyway, Pelosi, her group expected to meet Taiwanese president and other senior officials tomorrow. The Chinese government also announced a series of live ammunition military drills that'll take place around Taiwan from Thursday until Sunday, declaring the sea and airspace in designated areas off limits during the period. So that's their way of throwing a hissy fit. And Beijing denounced the trip immediately after Pelosi's plane landed, claiming it violated the One China policy Washington had committed to in 1979 and uphold that U.S. President Joe Biden, the responsibility to prevent it. The U.S. side is trying to use Taiwan to control China, constantly distorting and hollowing out the One China principle, strengthening official exchanges between the U.S. and Taiwan and supporting the Taiwan independent separatist activities. This is a very dangerous act, playing with fire. Those who play with fire will set themselves on fire. You know, when you look at a war game expert, this was in the New York Post today. Now, how China ultimately reacts to this is anybody's guess. Are they going to shoot Nancy Pelosi's plane out of the sky? Yeah, I think the odds are next to zero, but you never put anything past evil regimes, right? So you always got to think of a worst case scenario. By the way, did anyone notice Nancy Pelosi flying on your private jet? Because you all paid for that jet that she's flying in. Just like when she was speaker, she had a private jet you paid for, take her back and forth to San Francisco and out in California. One big fat carbon footprint for Nancy Pelosi. Just keep that in mind when you get lectured about your need for an electric car that's $20,000 more than a gas-powered car. So whatever they do, there will be some, at least, symbolic retaliation. God knows what it will be. But understand something here. It better serve as a wake-up call. What have I been saying? That China is our number one geopolitical threat. They are an enemy state. They're a hostile regime, and this is a hostile country towards the U.S. And this is why Joe Biden giving a million barrels of oil from our strategic petroleum reserves is maddening beyond words to me. Why he's talking about lifting tariffs with China that Donald Trump put in place because of their unfair trade practices, that infuriates me. The idea that Joe Biden gets on a phone call, gets threatened by the president of China, and doesn't fight back and, for example, demand answers for the origins of the COVID-19 virus, the Wuhan virology lab, why they put their travel ban in effect that prevented people in Wuhan from traveling anywhere else in China, but allowing them to travel all over the world. They knew something was going on. You know, they knew gain of function research was happening. Anthony Fauci knew that was happening, according now to all the evidence that we had, including his own emails, his own NIH emails, The Intercept, Project Veritas. I mean, we've learned from all of them. So China's not a friend of the U.S. And understand this. China's goal is to supplant America as the most powerful economic and military force on the planet, and they've been doing this now for years. And America's economy is still bigger than China's. According to the latest figures, World Bank annual GDP, our annual GDP is $23 trillion. China's not far behind at $17 trillion. They're gaining fast. But in terms of military capability, you know, because the left never wants to spend money on the military, we have fallen behind. And this is I'm just giving you facts here, not information that I really want to pass on. China's army is larger than our army. Their navy is the largest in the world. They have some of the most advanced military technology that, according to experts, has now surpassed ours. General Jack Keane, as well as other military experts, all warning if hostilities break out in the Pacific, it's unlikely the U.S. military would prevail under that scenario. That's a frightening thought. As they show off their new hypersonic missiles, as Russia shows off theirs, and as, you know, we begin to catch up, only because Donald Trump insisted that we catch up once he found out we were behind. But it's a pretty frightening thought. It doesn't bode well for the future, because if this world is dominated by this authoritarian regime, China, it's going to be a far different place than the one we grew up in, and the change is not going to be for the better. Anyway, there was in today's New York Post, war games expert, this guy named Kazanias, detailing what would likely happen in any U.S. How do you say Kazanias? Is that the right pronunciation? I stand corrected by Linda. Kazanias. Thank you. Harry Kazanias. I know who it is, too. Anyway, did you notice last night? I go to Tucker during the handoff. Oh, yeah. I said Chris Rock and was Kid Rock. Of course, I know the difference between Kid Rock and Chris Rock. I have no idea why I said that. Then I corrected myself. Anyway, so in various simulations, Kazanias points out, I have fought in nearly 20 different U.S.-China wars since 2013. There's always one constant. Washington loses nearly every conflict with Beijing, which means America is no longer the world's global superpower, and China reigns supreme. Now, why am I bringing this all up? Hannity, we don't want to talk about China. Because if history tells us one thing, frankly, thanks to the Obama-Biden defense cuts from 2008 onwards, and the Biden administration today having no military strategy for China, I don't even think Joe Biden knows where China is. But anyway, Beijing has been building a military ready to win any scenario they would face, and particularly any showdown over Taiwan. I'm telling you right now, when the communist Chinese do, it's not if, it's when. When they move into Taiwan, I will predict right here under Joe Biden, America's not going to lift a finger. Now, I didn't finish my thought. If you want to bankrupt Russia, you cut off their energy sales right at their knees, and that is the lifeblood of their economy. Now, General Milley was meeting with 26 of his counterparts. He was recently in Australia, I know, because we were trying to get comments from him. And his staff was very they were very, very nice, very responsive. They got back to us every time. I knew he was busy, so he didn't have time for the questions I had at the time. But he was there for the right reasons. He was there to build a coalition that would end all trade with China. If you want to hurt China, the best way to hurt them is financially, and you can defeat them financially because 50% of their economy is all exports to every country around the globe. And the fact that they haven't had free and fair trade only got challenged by one person, and that was Donald J. Trump. But anyway, Beijing would attack all the ways U.S. forces communicate, share information across the globe. China would unleash a massive cyber attack on U.S. military command and control assets and communications, military bases worldwide. If the U.S. military is blinded, it cannot fight or see what is coming next. At the same time, China would destroy U.S. commercial, spy, and military satellites in orbit using their sophisticated anti-satellite weapons it's been deploying for years and has demonstrated. The U.S. military would then be blind and mute, unable to relay orders to forces to strike China back effectively. And what's even most dangerous in this article is Beijing has built up this massive arsenal of cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and now these new hypersonic missiles to attack and destroy U.S. bases and warships all across the Indo-Pacific region. And China would attempt to deploy all their military assets all over the region in one giant attack. In effect, China's armed forces would expose all the mistakes that Barack Obama and Joe Biden made in less than an hour. Now, these are the experts that play out these different varying scenarios. Now, one article says that China's furious after Pelosi landed, and they put a lengthy statement out condemning the arrival of the speaker. This is a serious violation of the One China principle. Who cares what they say? But America better understand here. They're out to defeat us. They're out to be in charge. They just are. And we better take it seriously. One last point on the economy. Bloomberg pointed out today, with prices and inflation soaring and GDP imploding, the Biden misery index is now as high as it was during the depths of the great Obama-Biden recession in 2009. Inflation now has hit a 41-year high, 9.1% in June. That means the misery index is 12.7%. That won't decline much at all before Americans go to the polls. Bloomberg Economics is projecting an index reading at 12% in October. That's close to the highest levels we've seen in over a decade, rivaling the aftermath of the Great Recession. The index has a pretty decent track record since it was coined by Lyndon Johnson, one of his advisors, that is. It flagged by a window of opportunity for Donald Trump 4 years later. But the misery index is a very powerful predictor because it's based on things that touch and impact everybody. Moody's Analytics says Biden's inflation plan will only lower inflation by 0.33%. By the way, that's the only plus upside prediction made by anybody. All right, 800-941-SHAWN, our number, if you want to be a part of the program. We're going to talk about, you know, all of these incidents, you know, doxing Supreme Court justices, their children, the churches they go to. We'll get to all of that. We'll talk about the assassination attempt on Lee Zeldin. We'll talk about the rhetoric of the left, how they ignored the riots in the summer of 2020, the attacks on Rand Paul. His wife wrote a piece, an op-ed that is worth paying attention to. She will join us along with the senator.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. from memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to Leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See Leesa.com for more details.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. It's time that you purchase the Less Lethal Burner Launcher. I love this. Now, listen to this. The story from Marvin, a Special Forces veteran. Now, Marvin fired his burner from 40 feet away as three unwanted people tried to enter his home. All three went down for 30 minutes, plenty of time for the police to arrive. It is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks required, and it's shipped right to your front door. Just go to their website, check out their videos, burner.com/Hannity, BYRNA.com/Hannity, and you'll get 10% off.